Praise the living Jesus. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your grace and your mercies. Thank you for your steadfast love toward us. Thank you, Lord, for helping us in our helplessness. Thank you for equipping us with strength to do great things, why human strength things to do. Thank you, Father. Thank you for destroying the works of the enemy that were formed against us. Thank you for glorifying your name in our lives. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for healing our lives, our environment with your presence. Thank you, Father. Thank you for crowning us with glory and honor. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for making impossible things possible in our lives. Thank you for always meeting us at the point of our need. Thank you for giving us victories over the battles confronting us. Praise forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for giving us faith so that we can grow to know you and to receive miracles and answers to prayers. Thank you for giving us faith. Thank you for teaching us to have faith. Thank you, Father. Be glorified forever in Jesus' name. We are grateful for all the truths and revelations you have taught us in this ministry and through these Bible study classes. We are also grateful for how much these truths have shaped our lives to make us the kind of persons we ought to be. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you are going to be saying to us tonight through this teaching. I ask, O Lord, that you speak to everyone that are listening and that will still listen to this teaching. Speak to every heart. Let there be a revival awakening is in every soul in Jesus' name. Thank you, faithful Lord, for you have answered. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Welcome every one of you to the Lord's presence. We are going to continue from where we stopped. We stopped at point B, or you can call it 5B. Which says we should stand up for and not be ashamed of our faith. So now we are moving to point C. Which says we are not of this world, and it hates us for that. We are not of this world, and it hates us for that. That is, this world hates us for the fact that we are not of this world. The people of the world, they hate us because we do not belong to the world. But that is what we will be looking at very briefly. Let us look at the book of Luke, chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. Verse 22. Luke 6:22. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Blessed are you when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. This is Jesus talking. He said, you are blessed whenever this happens to you. Don't forget that the broad topic under which this point, point C, is says cautions against compromising with the world. Cautions against compromising with the world. So Jesus said, blessed are ye when men shall hate you So we should expect the hatred from people who are not saved. We should expect the hatred, the rejection from people who are of this world, sinners out there. In fact, you should expect hatred and rejection even from your from so-called Christians who are not genuinely born again. Yeah, so you should know that from the moment you stood out of the millions and billions of people in the world to stand for, from the moment you stood out for righteousness, for the truth, the enemy who we know as Satan, and not only that, every other person Satan has captured will be against you. From that moment, you decided to do the will of God and to please God and to serve God. You should be ready for hatred, for rejection, for attack from everyone that has not taken the decision you have taken. Yeah. Yeah, you should be ready for that. Sometimes I hear Christians say things like, Oh, do I offend? Oh, do I offend? I have no enemy. Or should I say, I have not hurt anyone. I'm not an enemy of anyone. Yeah. So why hold this? Why is the enemy fighting me? Why is witchcraft against me? Why are a lot of arrows coming against me? Well, if you as a Christian, you still talk like that, it means you have not read your Bible very well. It means you are not a student of the Bible. Yeah, because those that followed Jesus and eventually established the first church, the early church in Acts of the Apostles, they were always under attack, both physically and spiritually, from the day they started to preach the gospel and go about doing the assignment Jesus gave them. So from that day, they were under attack, till they died. Yeah, all the apostles, all the early Christians, from the day they stood for Christ, from the day they began to profess themselves as Christians publicly, they never enjoyed peace. I mean, peace with worldly people. Yeah, they never had peace from worldly people, from sinners, from wicked people. So they were always under attack. Then why do you think you are different from the people who started this Christian faith? What made you think your own to be different? Yeah. Same thing. Yeah. And if it's the same thing, then it's the same rejection, it's the same persecution, it's the same hatred that we will also encounter at this time. Though our own might not be as severe as this, but we cannot run away from hatred, rejection, persecution that will come from the people of the world. Yeah, we can't run away from that. So you should stop saying things like, do I offend? Why are everyone against me? If you are saying like that, it means you are not matured. That's what it means. It means all these years you have not grown. Yeah, because it is normal for you to be attacked because of your faith, both physically and spiritually. Yeah, so you don't need to offend anyone. Yeah. The moment you make decision to stand for the light, the kingdoms of darkness will be after you. Yeah. Why? Number one, because you automatically become a threat by being different from them. If you automatically become a threat to them by being different from them. Yeah, because just as the kingdom of heaven is after dominion, so also is the kingdom of darkness after dominion. Yeah. So just as the light wants to take over the head, in the same way the darkness wants to take over the head. Now, so just as the light wants to take over, darkness also wants to take over. Yeah, so the two are always at war with each other every microsecond. not even every second. The two are always against each other. Yeah, the same thing applies to the flesh and the spirit. The flesh and the spirit. Yeah, it's the same as light and darkness. They are always at war. Yeah, so the kingdom of darkness know that if they allow you who is standing for the light, if they allow you to be at peace, to be at rest, they know that sooner or later or instantly your light will take over their darkness. Yeah. And in the same way, if we are of the light, if we allow, if we permit darkness to thrive, sooner or later, darkness will also take over us. So it's a war. And this war will continue till the end of this world. Yeah. So you should always be ready for war. Yeah. Except if you have not really stood out for Christ. If indeed you have stood out for Christ, for the truth, for righteousness, you must be ready always for war. Yeah, for hatred from people, even from people who once profess to love you and care about you. Yeah, I pray that the Lord will give you a renewed mind in Jesus' name. Let us move to John 15, verse 18 to 19. John 15. John 15:18-19. If the word hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of this world, the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Praise the Lord. Wanted to pay attention to a place in that verse 19. It says, if ye were of the world would love his own. If ye were of the world with love is honed. Yeah, as a Christian, you should not seek acceptance from everyone. Don't expect that everyone will accept you. Yeah, always remember what Jesus said here. If ye were of the world would love his own. So if indeed you are not of the world, why do you expect the world to love you? They are not supposed to love you. Yeah, because you are not of the world. Yeah, and the same thing applies to the hypocrite Christians. You know who hypocrites are? Deceivers, pretenders. There are people who are not, who they publicly say they are. People who are something else in secret, and then they appear as another thing in public. Now don't expect that hypocrite Christians and hypocrite ministers of God, don't expect that they will love you. Since you are not like them, since you are not a deceiver like them, that they will love you. Yeah. Everyone with the nature of the world in them, characteristics of the world in them, cannot be a friend of you who doesn't have those characteristics, those worldly characteristics. Yeah, so don't, maybe you are an employee and then you feel like, why is everyone in this place of work against me? They don't even like me. Yeah, wow, why is everyone against me? And then you know that it's not like you did anything that is contrary to the will of God that caused the hatred. You knew that they hated you because you are a new Christian. You should not be sad. It is expected. Yeah, it is expected. Inasmuch as they are not like you, don't expect them to love you. I think if we have this mindset, we are going to save ourselves a lot from heartaches, from sorrows, from troubles, from depression. Yeah, I think if we have this mindset of not expecting anything good from those who don't have Christ in them, yeah, which is the way I live my life personally. I don't expect anything good from those who don't have Christ in them. Yeah, because I know that the seed of God is not in them. And whatever good they might be doing is not real. Yeah, because there's no Christ in them. Because the same person that appears to be doing good now, before you know it, would do something very bad that would destroy all of the good that he or she have been doing. Yeah. So anyone that don't really have the light, even if the person goes to church or is a pastor, but I could discern that the person don't have the light that I have, I don't expect much from them. I don't expect anything good from them. So which means whenever they offend me, let's say if they offend me, I will not feel bad because I'm already expecting that they will offend me. Yeah, because they are of this world and I am not of this world. I don't belong to this world. Yeah. So if you also have the same mindset, you will really live a very peaceful life. But I think many of us tend to forget. Yeah. I pray you will not forget these truths to deal with people in the world. In Jesus' name. Let us look at those verses again. It says, if the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. It hated me before it hated you. So you are not the only one. If they hated Jesus, then why should they not hate you? Okay. In that verse 19, Jesus said, but I have chosen you out of the world. Therefore, the world hated you. I have chosen you out of the world. Remember that place in the scriptures in Matthew, where Jesus said, let your light so shine. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works, glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Let your light so shine. That is in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 verse 14 to 16. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill and not be hid. Neither do men light a candle, but put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works, and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Praise the Lord. So He has chosen us out of the world. It is because He wants us to shine. He wants us to shine as light. Yeah, because we were part of the world before. Yeah, we weren't different from them. No one was born a saint. No one was born a saint into the world. Everyone was born a sinner. We inherited this convicted, evil, and sinful nature right from the womb. Yeah, so we're part of the world, but Jesus came, or Jesus visited you, and then separated you from the world, because of this plan in Matthew chapter 5. Verse 14 to 16, because He wants you to really shine your light. Some people will say, I don't want to do these spiritual things so seriously. Before they will say, I am a fanatic. I am taking things to the extreme. I don't want to do these things so seriously. Or, I don't want to do much of this. Yeah, you know that. You know what you are doing is a good work. And then you are saying, I don't want to do much of this. Before somebody will start saying, I'm becoming a fanatic, or somebody will start saying my own is too much or whatever. That is not biblical. There's nothing like extreme. when it comes to spiritual things. There is no extreme. Yeah, there's nothing like, oh, this is too extreme. Yeah, like some women we say, I know God wants me to be natural and not use artificial things, artificial beauty items, beauty product, ornament, jewelry. But then they would say, I know God don't want me to use all these worldly things, but I don't want people to see me as too extreme. Yeah, because when they look at me, I do not have any earrings, no jewelry, no any attachment, no makeup. Yeah, if I just appear like that, people would say, oh, see the fanatics. Oh, that one is too extreme. Why are you taking the scriptures too far? There's nothing like that. Yeah, there's nothing like extreme when you are doing the right thing. Yeah, if you want to be extreme, be extreme. If indeed you have surrendered all to Jesus and you want to be extreme, the extreme. The more extreme you go, the greater the light that you radiate. Yeah, especially when you are not doing it because you want to impress anyone. When you are really doing the good work because of your dedication to God, your commitment to God. Yeah, and because of your love for God and of your hatred for darkness. Then is the best. Yeah. It is the best. So don't listen to any voice telling you that I think I'm reading the Bible too much. I think I am I'm preaching too much. I'm preaching against the sin too much. I think I am dressing too modest. I'm dressing too holy. Oh, I think I am praying too much, fasting too much. Don't listen to that kind of voice. Yeah, because if we are really going to shine the light, we must really take our spirituality very high. If we are really going to shine the light at this time, in these last days, as Christians, we must take our spirituality very high. Because the darkness we are dealing with is already too deep and too high. I'm telling you the truth. So if you think you can just shine a small light, and conquer the darkness that we have in the world at this time. You must be joking, because it will not work. Yeah, it will not work. You just keep doing many things and you will not see results. You will hardly see results. Yeah, because you have not taken your walk with God higher. So if you feel like you have been doing a lot of spiritual things and you have not seen tangible results, then take it higher. So you think you have been doing a lot, then do a lot more. Yeah, especially when you are doing the right thing. I don't know if you are getting my point. You feel like you have been doing rich exercises and you have not really seen results as you should. Then do more, increase the exercises. Now, because the greater the darkness you are dealing with, the greater the light you must have, or you must radiate to conquer that darkness. So don't let anyone deceive you that you should slow down good works. Oh, this is enough. Some people will say, how can I give God that amount of money? God is not a beggar. God doesn't need anything. God created the heavens and the earth. Yeah, so I don't need to give God anything. Or they feel like, well, let me just give him this small. Yeah, so they feel like giving to God is to be moderated. I don't know if that makes sense. Yeah. So those Christians, they feel like giving to God should be moderated. It should be calculated. Yeah, it should be controlled. Yeah, it not just give this amount, it's too much. Yeah, of course, God is not a beggar and God doesn't need anything. Yeah, but there's no way you would demonstrate that you really love God without giving, maybe I should use the word, giving without measure. Yeah, there's no way you would demonstrate your love to God. It's not possible. You can't say that you love God until you give without measure. Yeah. You can't say that you love Him. Yeah. So, don't listen to anyone that is telling you that some good works should be controlled or should be minimized, should be regulated, should be measured. Yeah, because it can be too much. It's a lie. Yeah. Except God Himself is telling you, it's okay. Stop here for today. Continue tomorrow. Yeah. So if God is not telling you to stop or to take a break in a particular good work you are doing, don't stop. Yeah, Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. He says, so shine. Let your light so shine. So which means as much as you can shine it. Shine it. I don't know if the English is correct. Yeah. As much as you can shine that light, shine the light. Yeah. Don't let anything stop you. Because as you do, you are filling the head with good works. And as you do that, you are also allowing the glory of God to multiply in the head. You become a vehicle of those glory as you continue to shine your light. Yeah. Maybe you preach the gospel once in a week. Yeah, let's say you go out on the street to preach once in a week, and then you feel like, oh, I think that is enough. You are joking. It's not enough. Or maybe as you ask, as the Holy Spirit told you that preaching the gospel is enough. I mean, you preaching the gospel the Holy Spirit said one day doing it once a week is enough, or twice a week is enough. The Holy Spirit will not say things like that. Yeah. In fact, the Holy Spirit will not tell you that giving 10% of your income is enough. The Holy Spirit will not tell you that. Or giving 100% is enough. No. Yeah, when it comes to good works, the Holy Spirit will never tell you that any of them is enough. Because they can't be enough. Yeah, that's just the truth. They cannot be enough. Yeah. Of course, some of you might not have the kind of faith. Some of you might not have the faith to handle some good works at the moment. Yeah, but that doesn't mean that what you are doing is enough. It's just that you don't yet have the faith to take the good works beyond the level you are doing it. Yeah. It makes sure I get to my point. Yeah. The fact that you are not here to do some good works, because your faith has not reached that level, doesn't mean God is contented with the good works you are doing. God expects that you grow in faith and do more good works. Yeah, so we should fulfill the purpose of our calling. When I mean calling, I mean your Christian calling. I mean you being called out of the world into Christ, into God's kingdom. The purpose is to shine your light. It's not just for you to come out of the world and then sit down. You have to practically shine your light. Yeah, and even if the world keeps attacking you, don't stop shining the light. Shine it the more. Yeah, they persecuted the apostles, yet they did even much more exploits. The more they were persecuted, the more they gave themselves to the works of God. Yeah. I pray that the Lord will give you understanding. Yeah, especially on this aspect of shining your light. Yeah. I pray the Lord give you understanding. In fact, there's no way you will discover more of your ministerial calling, or there's no way you will understand more of your ministerial calling until you start shining your light. Some people, they will go to prophet and then they will say, prophet, please tell me if I'm a prophet, if I have the calling of a prophet or pastor or teacher or apostle. Yeah. And some immature prophets will also be saying, oh, I can see the mantle of an apostle upon you. I can see the mantle of a pastor upon you. That is immaturity. Yeah. So even if you can see that, that's not how to take that mantle. Yeah. I mean, let's say I'm looking at you now and then I can see the mantle of a pastor upon you. I will not tell you that because it wouldn't change anything. Now, so it is immaturity to be telling you that you are a prophet by call, you are an apostle by call. That is immaturity as a prophet or of a prophet. Yeah, because that is irrelevant to the call itself. Yeah, so no one just grew up and then say he's a prophet or he's a pastor. Yeah, there is a training process. process. Yeah, it's a training process. Yeah, if you don't go through the training process, nothing is going to happen. Even if you had the title to your name, the title will not command the power. The title will not command the authority. Yeah, nothing will change. Nothing will change. Yeah, so it's not really about the title. Yeah, it's about that growth process. Yeah, and the major thing that will make you to grow into the person God actually have called you to be is this shining of your light. Yeah, the light that you have, all the good works you know to do, and you know that this is a good work. You doing them to the best of your ability. That is how you will qualify eventually for the ministerial call. I don't know if you are getting my point. Yeah, you will qualify for the ministerial call by shining a lot of your life. And not just qualify, you will prepare, you will be trained by shining a lot of your light. So which means God expects that you shine your light in many places. You find yourself in whatever church you find yourself, ministry you find yourself, shine your light there, giving your best to shine your light every day. So as you are shining that light, you will now be getting revelations of the call of God upon your life. The external call of God on your life. But if you just if you are the type that you are limiting your life, or you set boundaries on your life, you are not ready for the call of God that is upon your life. Every good thing you know to do for God, for Christ, for God's kingdom, go all out to do them. Go all out to do them. Do them with everything you have within you. That is how you prepare for the full calling that God has for you. I pray that the Lord gives you more understanding. We don't have much time. Now, let's look at 1 Peter chapter 4. Verse 4. First Peter 4, verse 4. Let me read from verse 3. First Peter 4, from verse 3. for the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. What this is saying is that the people who were your friends when you were still in the world, yeah, they will consider you strange the moment you stop doing the things you have been doing together with them, the sinful things that you have been doing together with them. The moment you stop, you separate yourself from them and from those things, they will consider you as strange. Yeah, they will consider you as strange. And sometimes they can even come to become your enemies because you no longer follow them to do evil. Yeah. This is the point. And I want you to pick from that verse. Make sure that you are not lured back into those things you've left behind, those worldly things you've left behind. Make sure you don't allow your old friends, or even if they are not old friends, even if they are new friends, make sure you don't allow those people lure you back into those things. You know your weaknesses. When you were still of the world, and now that you are separated from the world, don't walk in the ways of those things you have separated from. Don't walk in the shadows of those things. Yeah, don't draw near to those things and to the people that do those things. There are some phone numbers you should not have on your phone again now that you have repented and have separated yourself from the world. There are some contacts you should not have on your phone again. What I mean is you should block those numbers, that is, block them from being able to call you or text you, and you should delete those contacts, because you know that these people, they are of the world. And keeping connection with them will likely, or maybe I should use the word, will give power to the devil to lure you into sins. Yeah. Let's say you used to be a very talkative person. You can talk and talk and talk, perhaps for hours in a day. And now you have repented from that. You should not keep company with the person that you used to do those talkative business together. You should not get close to that person. Yeah. In fact, if it is possible, you can block the person's number. That is, if you don't really have any important thing to do with the person, any important profitable thing. Yeah, because you know that once this person calls my number, or this person comes to my house, we could talk for the next 4 or 5 hours. And it's not that we are talking on spiritual things. And it's not even that we are talking on career or business. It's just talking on things that have no value to destiny, no value to purpose. Then why should you pick the calls of such person? Why should you ask the person to come to your house? Yeah, so when you know the areas of your weaknesses, you don't draw near to those areas. You don't tempt the Holy Spirit. Yeah, and then you say, I just prayed 5 hours yesterday, so even if I draw near to this weakness, nothing is going to happen. Well, a lot will happen. And before you know it, you are falling into sin. Yeah. So stay far from the areas of your weaknesses. Stay far. You will be strong. Then God will be able to strengthen you. Well, if you draw near to those things, yeah, some of you, you could be entertainment, watching movies, then you know you could sit down with movies for hours. Yeah, some of you is even social media, Facebook, Instagram, and all of that. Yeah, so stay far from the areas of your weakness so that God can help you. If you don't stay far, well, that's how you will continue. And you will never see any significant change in your spiritual life. You will continue for years, and you won't be able to point to any significant growth or change in your spiritual walk with God. Yeah, so I'm going to stop here. The topic, once again, says we are not of this world, and it aches for that. We are not of this world, and it aches us for that. That is, the world hates us for the fact that we do not belong to them. If you have questions, you can ask on the group. Let us pray. Father, we are grateful for this moment in your presence. Thank you for helping us to understand how we have been called out of the world and how we should remain separated from the world, permanently separated from the world. Thank you for showing us these things. Thank you also for showing us that you did this separation not for us to condemn the people of the world, because you have not come to condemn the world, but to save the world. Thank you for making us to understand that you separated us from the world so that we can shine our light, which is able to save many that are still in darkness in the earth. I ask, O Lord, that you help everyone here to be doers of this word that have been spoken here tonight. This teaching that you have sent to everyone here tonight, I ask that you help your people to be doers of this teaching in the name of Jesus. I ask, O Lord, that the grace to break all limitations and shine the light. Oh Lord, give to everyone here in the name of Jesus the grace for them to break all limitations, to shine the light that you have placed in them. Oh Lord, give them that grace. The name of Jesus. We ask, O Lord, that for those who have been shining their light already, help them to shine it the more in the name of Jesus. Help them to shine it so greatly to the best of their capacities, to the best of their strength, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Blessed be your holy name. Jesus' name will be afraid. Amen.